Welcome in. Another episode of Two Tickets to Fantasy. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Tickets to Fantasy. Email us at twotickets2fantasy@gmail.com. For Joe Iarocci, I'm Jeff Mascia. Joe, tis the season, my friend. How are you?
Hey, now, we got 18 inches on the way, but more importantly, we've got Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday NFL this week. So this is kind of like the last dud of a sports night of the week to get through, and buckle up. It's a big weekend.
18 inches, huh? Jeez, I mean, that's heavy duty, buddy. I'm kind of glad I moved down here to Surfside Beach a couple of weeks ago because I couldn't really handle that right now.
Ooh.
But anyways, we just want to let kind of the ticket holders know that obviously now most leagues are getting into their semifinals this week. Very important week, crunch time. I mean, really, this kind of sets up next week. Usually the first and second place get payoffs. So this is a very important week for anybody who's still in it. Also, we want to say that we're going to be diversifying after the playoffs are over. We have plenty of other things to talk about. We want to get into some UFC, some basketball, baseball. So we'll be hitting it all. So I don't want anybody to think that they'll kind of lose us after the football season.
Yeah. I mean, the bottom line is, and that's because, you know, we've actually got some people listening and we're having a blast doing it. And we appreciate that we do. But, you know, the thought a few weeks ago was like, what the hell do we do in February once the Super Bowl is over? You know, leagues end normally week 16, but we got DFS daily to get us through, you know, even through the Super Bowl now, which is great. But, you know, don't want to leave you guys in February. We do dabble in the fantasy basketball landscape. Matter of fact, got our first NBA draft tonight. Looking forward to that. And then obviously had a big UFC last week. We want to stay with you guys, baseball, UFC, all things sports, whatever else is happening. You know, we're looking forward to it, and we'd love to hear what you guys want to hear and what you guys don't want to hear going forward.
Absolutely, yeah. Get in touch with us. We're gaining Twitter followers by the day, my friend. So get in touch with us on Twitter or Instagram. Just kind of let us know what you're thinking, maybe likes or dislikes. But in any case, we'll get into some football right now. We had kind of, I would say, Joe, maybe a 50-50 kind of week last week. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, another great FanDuel day. We put up 151 on the main slate, which cashed us, you know, pretty nicely. It was, another day where you spend all your time looking for that cheap play, but I got 65 between Aaron Rodgers and Derrick Henry on the main slate, another 21 from Davante Adams. But, you know, I'm going to go as far as saying this man's becoming a friend of the show, and that is Mr. T.Y. Hilton, 23.1, another huge week, another juicy matchup that they had against Vegas, and it's another one coming this week. So we are very proud to let our T.Y. flags fly here on Two Tickets to Fantasy these days. David Montgomery was certainly another one. Chad Hansen got you 9 at a cheap price. So these running backs specifically, though, they're all over the place. McKissick got the touches, but only got 9. Gaskin gets hurt in Miami again. It's just been a lot, but it was nice to be able to ride that Derrick Henry train last week. And looking at these matchups this week, I mean, you got Saturday, 2 games, you got Thursday, you got Monday. So the main slate at 1 p.m., it's an interesting mix of guys, and we'll get into that a little later too.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, we like to kind of put out the value plays really where you can kind of differentiate yourself and take the higher salaries, whether it's Mahomes or Rodgers, like you were talking about. But you're right. From chalk standpoint, running backs these days, Derrick Henry, I mean, 215 yards and 2 touchdowns is an absolute beast. The guy is not slowing down. They keep feeding him. Between him and Dalvin Cook, I could go back and forth as to who maybe fantasy-wise I like better. And you know, the only reason I bring up Cook is because he also gets the receptions, which comes in handy on DraftKings too. with the PPR and FanDuel for that matter, but DraftKings I think is a little bit higher, right, Joe?
It is. Yeah, it's one versus only a half on FanDuel. That's a fair point.
Yeah, so it's really this is obvious, but you got to try to find the right mix.
You do.
Of the chalk guys for the week, and then you know, find the value guys.
You're absolutely right. And Cook and Henry is a really good example because, you know, those are both great plays last week. They both had really, really good matchups. And, you know, as we talked about, Henry had the matchup against Jacksonville, which he certainly took advantage of. Cook was at Tampa Bay, which isn't as good of a matchup. But Cook, you know, had 18, 102 and a touchdown at nine, you know, but Henry had 32, 35. So Cook wasn't a bad play, but that's a 15 point difference. And 15 yep. points in the 1 p.m. millionaire contest, that's the difference between you could basically win the million or win like $30 with a 15 point difference. So it is important to pick the right guy. You know, I think a lot of that is definitely matchup driven, especially at this time of year. What I think we're finding though, and this is a good thing, right? Like real quick, Jonathan mm-hmm. Taylor and David Montgomery this week are 74 yep. and 7,300 respectively. And they've yep. both been over 20 the last two, Montgomery, right. even the last 3 weeks. So,
right.
you know, at what point do you say, you know what, I'm going to save that 3K as much as I want Henry, you know, I'm going to save that 3K and apply that to wide receiver or get Kelsey in my lineup at tight end. And with Taylor and Montgomery, both good matchups again this week. Taylor's home against Houston. Montgomery's at Minnesota. You know, it might running back may not be the place to make it to spend your money this week. But you know, one other thing on last week. It was another roller coaster of a sports betting week. We had
That's why I said 50-50 to start. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, we had some. You know, going into the week, I thought the Giants plus three were a good play. They didn't cover a sweetheart tease. Daniel Jones obviously wasn't healthy. That's one of those things where you appreciate the pride of trying to get out there, but by the second right. quarter, it was clear they would have been better off with McCoy. But you know, less than half of the games went over this week, which I thought was really interesting, right? Because we're watching all of these high scoring games all throughout the year, and these teams putting up a ton of points. Less than half went over this week. I thought that was interesting. The Eagles beat the Saints. That was probably the biggest loss to the sports books this week. They beat them outright, never mind covering the spread. Jalen Hurts, mm-hmm. that was really interesting. It is, you know, the only thing predictable about the NFL is that it's unpredictable. And that's
right,
the prize right. again right there to steal a quote from a great mind, I believe, right? And, you know, one last thing on the betting thing and just – the Monday night game real quick, you know, that Ravens yeah. Brown game was phenomenal. That's
where that was, yep.
where you wish there were a full house, a sellout of fans there because the atmosphere yes. for that rivalry, two teams on their way, you know, playoff trajectory, have aspirations of making the playoffs. That was a phenomenal, phenomenal, just insane game. You finally watch Lamar Jackson do what you want to see him do from a fantasy perspective.
Right.
The funny thing though, for you sports bettors out there, and I believe FanDuel actually even refunded some people in certain situations. So the Ravens were a favorite. They were a 3-point favorite in that game last Monday night. And they took a 45-42 lead with whatever it was, 8, 10, 12,
2 seconds.
Yeah, two seconds left, which then made, you know, the kickoff for for the Browns, which you knew was going to result in a bunch of laterals, no doubt about it. But, you know, we brought up a friend on our show a few weeks ago. We call him Domestically Mixing Him Up, one of the better fantasy football team names we've ever, you know, we've had out there,
yep.
Our buddy Ryan. And we were having a conversation at the end of that game, and he had made a bet, and, you know, where he had the Browns plus three. And I sent him after that field goal, I sent him, congratulations, at least you pushed it and you didn't lose. And he sent, man, am I relieved. And then we sat there and watched that happen. And I don't know, I meant to go back and count the amount of laterals. I don't remember how many it was, but that is why, you know, you can go back and say, yeah, I won 20 out of 44 bets this year or whatever it may be. But like, if you go back and apply bad beats to that, you leave there with a little more confidence because, you know, it was the right pick, but then that play happens at the end of the game and it's crazy. And that's why I've been trying to stay with money lines, building these money line parlays out to, you know, forego and mitigate the risk of having things like that happen with the line. But the problem with the money line parlays or the sweetheart teases, which I had a great success with last year and even some weeks this year, the issue is that the percentage of upsets and just closer games that are happening just are not in your favor for a five-team parlay or a five-team bet at all.
Right.
Because the percentages of all five, whatever it is coming through, are just slim to none in this crazy NFL season that we have.
And since you brought that game up, I'm curious what you think, and I'm curious as to what the ticket holders think. Let us know on social media. Which beat was worse? That one on Monday by the Ravens or the Doug Peterson analytics 2-point conversion that really kind of screwed everybody, a month and a half ago?
Yeah, so that was bad.
Kind of curious as to who thinks what.
Yeah, that would be – that. We should put that up as a Twitter poll. You know, it's a great point, though. I was talking to this about this a lot lately to people. Whether it's going for it on fourth down in the freaking first quarter, second quarter, whatever it may be, their own side of the field, early in the game, we're seeing that. We're seeing more and more two-point conversions, whether the score, whether it's appropriate based on the score or not. You're seeing just less field goal attempts and going for it fourth and four from the opponent's 25. Teams are just going for it so much more. And in a way, it's making the games more high scoring, but it's just making it trickier from a betting perspective because there is no structure to these games anymore that you can trust. You know, if you saw a game 17-14 going into the fourth, that had a trajectory that it was going on from a scoring perspective. 5 years ago, that game was not going to end up 29-26. But these games these days do because these coaches are just, whether it's innovation or just stupidity, a false sense of courage, we're not punting, we're not kicking as much as we used to, and it's wreaking havoc with the betting world from an over-under perspective and the straight line.
You're right, and a couple things. You might disagree with me on this, but I'm in favor of more two-point conversion tries, especially when they pushed back the extra point. We've seen playoff time. Yeah. Time again with me as a Patriots fan, with Steven Gostkowski being the best ever regular season and choking somehow in whatever game he's in the postseason. There's one thing you mentioned. You talked about the unders from this past week. We didn't discuss this before the show or prepare for it, but you put out a tweet a couple of days ago that got a lot of attention about defensive scoring fantasy-wise, whether it be the weekly leagues or daily, how they have to adjust how defensive teams, how they're scoring that. Because you mentioned something. If you hold a team now between 17 and 21 points, from a defensive standpoint, that's fantastic, and that should be rewarded more than it is right now.
Yeah,
you want to touch on that, Joe?
Absolutely. And, I'm proud of us to say, and when I say us, I mean, the leagues that we've been in for 15, 20 years that we've had going. We've got in front of this a couple of years ago in at least one of our leagues. It just doesn't make sense. And you know what? Everything evolves and you got to evolve. These sports evolves with the different rules that they make. The NFL, their rules much more favor the offense than they used to. Baseball's making changes by the year to catch up to 2020. And it's the same thing with fantasy. We used to give a 5-point bonus for 300 yards passing. You can't
right.
do that anymore.
Right. Right.
But the defensive thing, 21 points is like 2, 3, 4 points, especially in the really conservative standard scoring. And it's just not telling the right story. I'll tell you something right now. If I have a defense who gives up 21 or 24 to the Chiefs and has a couple sacks, maybe a turnover, that should be 10, 12 points. And it's not. And again, some leagues, it's up to the commissioner and however you can make the decision to change it. Others keep it the same. It's the other part too. When I said that, somebody brought up a really good point. A defense, and this is a double whammy against the defense. They lose points when the other team scores a defensive touchdown.
Right.
Because they're, and that's insanity. And that's actually not something I don't believe on most platforms you can change or customize, even if you're paying. So they really, I think we got to look at the defensive scoring in general and tweak that if we want, or you make them like kickers and you get rid of them, you know, from a, and I don't like that. I love playing defenses. I love, and we're going to talk about it later. I love having a great defensive matchup, you know, from a daily perspective, a cheap price, from a league perspective, you find them on waivers. I love that. That's an easy way to get 10, 15, even 20 points if it's the right matchup. But yeah, we got to catch up on that one as a community.
I'm absolutely not in favor of ditching defense on fantasy plays. It does add a different kind of element and not just picking all offensive guys. I really like that extra type of element that it provides, whether it's in the regular leagues or daily. Yeah. I want to switch gears
real
first.
Go ahead. Real quick, man, before we get let's add a little juice for this week. You know, from a betting perspective, what I saw right off the bat is we got that Thursday night Vegas Charger game. It's over 53. These teams are proving to not play much defense. We certainly know that with the Raiders. So kind of liking that over. And then on Sunday, you know, there are some interesting things out there. You got Baltimore home against Jacksonville, 13.5. So certainly want to figure out a way to play that. Maybe you play it with Green Bay on Saturday, home against Carolina. You know, we are also looking at, you know, I'm watching Indianapolis and Houston lately, and we've talked about their fantasy players a lot. You can't have a fantasy conversation right now without somebody bringing up, whether it's Jonathan Taylor, whether it's Pittman, people have been on Kuti because of the price lately, whatever it may be, that game's 51 for an over under. I think that's, you know, especially if you can find that something to tease that with. Tampa Bay, Atlanta over 50. So I'm liking some of these overs if you tease them. And then, you know, I really like figuring out a way to get the right odds with Baltimore and the Rams. You know, it's week 15. It's time to really, really start to try to rely on what we know. What do we know? Baltimore's in must wins every week to make the playoffs. I believe they're not even in if the season ended today, despite their win on Monday night. What do we know? Jacksonville certainly is not. What do we know? The Rams are in a dogfight. Seattle, Arizona, freaking awesome division. The Jets are not. So, you know, I'm going to hang on my hat on those matchups this week. One other one I'm looking at, if you have a little bit to play with, you know, the Dolphins Patriots this week, and fun game to watch last week, Miami and the Chiefs. Not fun game to watch last week, Patriots-Rams last Thursday. That being said, I might take a shot within a Miami under parlay. I'm not saying I'm the most confident there, but the Miami defense is formidable. We know the Patriots are having a hard time scoring, but their defense is respectable too. So might be looking at a quick little parlay there.
True, and that's a tricky one. I'm very curious about that because during the Tom Brady years, when they played in Miami, it always seemed like he saved his worst game for then. And I'm wondering if it's Tom Brady or if it's just Belichick or New England in general just have a difficult time playing in Miami. I guess we'll find out when it comes this way. I'm really curious about that one. Not to mention, you know how much I love my boy Tua. He had a big week last week. I want to see if he can come back. I know it's the Patriots have a good defense, but you never know. And I think Tua, I'll stand behind him all day.
You know, he did it last week. And he's only 6,800 this week, but he put up 28 home against Kansas City. Kansas City defense isn't horrible, but this is what you got to like about that. 316 yards passing, 2 touchdowns. He did get a rushing touchdown too. But, you know, he's not going to do it every week yet, but the right matchup, I don't know if this week is the one, but it's going to our point where, you know, when you're looking at keepers and stuff, he's got to be on the radar for sure.
Yep. Having said that, we talked earlier about switching gears. For a second, I want to touch on this past Saturday was UFC 256, was one of the more spectacular main events or fights in general I have ever seen in the flyweight division. You had Davison. I'm having a hard time pronouncing his last name. I think it's Figueredo.
Whatever it is.
Figueredo versus Brandon Moreno. Now, I didn't know much about Moreno. He was the underdog and a heavy underdog. But this was Figueredo's second fight in 3 weeks. he's a monster in the flyweight division because he has to cut down to 125 to – he walks around probably at 145. So when he cuts and they do the weigh in the day before, you know, he makes it to 125 somehow. It's almost like when McGregor was down at the not the lightweight, but just below that division, and the cut that he made and just the skinniness that he looked like and just how ripped he was and then how much weight he put on in that one day heading into the fight.
Well, I'll tell you, and I'm reading about it now, Jeff, the guy had a stomach infection. He was in the hospital until 2 a.m. Saturday morning.
Wow.
And then he went out and did that. I'm already in fear of shoveling 18 inches of snow tomorrow after a 3-egg omelet and a cup of coffee. And this guy was in the hospital with a stomach infection and then went 5 rounds in the UFC.
So it's funny you bring that up because that's toughness. That is just guts. My hat's off to the guy. I can't believe that it takes a special person to do that. What I was going to bring up is the toughness of the kid Moreno. I have never seen in my entire life. This guy ate more big shots than maybe anyone I've ever seen and kept walking in. It was like watching Rocky in there, just a smaller version of him. He kept getting just demolished with every hit, but took it and kept walking forward. Not to mention, I forget what round it was. I want to say maybe the third or fourth. He took a shot in the jewels downstairs harder than anyone I've seen. Hit the canvas, almost started throwing up. And then after a few minutes, he got back to his feet and started fighting again. This was...
They recover so fast from those. I don't know how they do it.
I don't necessarily... They say they give him 5 minutes. What I dislike is the referee will go and check on him after a couple of minutes, and almost like they put pressure on him to kind of get going. They don't have to start, but the ref almost is kind of like, are you good? You're good. They have 5 minutes, but it's two. But he just asked him, you good? And they almost feel like they got to start right then. So this was a 5-round slugfest, better than Liddell Ortiz. And I tell you, it was a majority draw. So it ended up being Figueiredo won by majority draw, which was the scoring went 48-47 Figueiredo. And then the other two judges had it 47-47. So he retained his belt, but I guarantee they run that back. And there's no question I will purchase that pay-per-view based on what I saw this past Saturday. It was an unbelievable event, and if you saw it, you were lucky to see it.
Yeah, I mean, Dana White already called it the best flyweight bout in the history of the UFC, and this is unbelievable. He was in the hospital two different times on Friday. He came home the first time, slept, woke up, and his belly was bloated like a beach ball, and he went back. It's just really, and it sounds like there's already going to, the writing's already on the wall for the rematch. But, you know, love the UFC. You're the one who got me into it, Jeff, and really taught me a lot about it. You know, for people, the pain point, right, is buying those pay-per-views. And what I've learned is if you're a little savvy on the internet, lots of live streams out there. So I've been wanting, you know, I watch too, but usually on the tablet. But, you know, if you guys need any more info on that, let us know because, you know, they need their fans, and I love being able to watch. It's just
tough. We're not going to put out the trade secret publicly, but right. Yeah, on the slide, we will give that one out. But
yeah,
I mean, I've seen them all from back, you know, way back with Matt Hughes, BJ Penn, Frank Mir, you name it. I've seen all of them, and this one just really had me. It had me sweating. It had me on the edge of my seat. Yeah. I couldn't believe the war these guys are going through. And I'll tell you right now, Dana White is one of the smartest guys in sports because all this COVID stuff has really shut everybody down and threw a wrench in the works. It was really the UFC and Dana White who made things right for their sport before anybody else.
I was just thinking about the year that they've had. I mean – you know, think back to, and I don't remember what their first Bubble Fight Island card was, when it was, but from a sports perspective, we needed it so badly at the time. It was so dry with nothing. And they've had some big epic fights this year, and they've got some momentum coming out of 256 and McGregor in January. So it's a fun time for the UFC from my perspective. You know, I start sweating and getting worried about how I feel the day after the Super Bowl from now. So being excited about UFC and the NBA and MLB, although MLB says now that they're looking to potentially delay their season until Memorial Day. But so it'll be good to have the UFC, and we'll stick with it too and keep covering it, which I'm excited to do also.
Yeah, you know, and go ahead, Joe. Sorry.
Well, you talked about never seeing a fight in some of the shots that that you saw in that fight, and you know, it go back to football. I read a headline today that I just it was jaw-dropping. Frank Ragnow of the Detroit Lions, who is actually a Pro Bowl offensive lineman for them. This feels like something Vince McMahon would like have on the screen in the middle of Monday Night Raw. He broke his throat last Sunday. Fractured his throat against Green Bay. Still didn't miss a play. He's played all 872 snaps this season, and he didn't allow a single pressure throughout the game. He broke his throat, and he's questionable for this week. I don't even know what else to say.
I don't know what to say either, because I'll tell you right now, when I stub my toe, I almost want to leave work. This dude is another level. It takes a special kind of person, UFC-wise, but this is something – I don't even know – how do you even break your throat?
You know what's really funny?
Ralph Macchio out there? What was going on?
Cobra Kai. You know, every major injury or every injury, there's a video that accompanies the story. There's no video here, so I'm not – I don't know if it was on a single play. I don't know if you can accumulatively fracture your throat. I'm not really sure how that works, but, you know, going from the UFC, I thought it was worth mentioning before we get back to the real deal.
And real quick, and Lays, we're going to get back to football in 1 second, but you brought up the McGregor fight next at UFC 257. And this is Dustin Poirier, the main event. I looked at the rest of the card, and it's, to me, it's, I mean, not the greatest. It's probably a little bit better than maybe I'm thinking right off the bat. But in any case, people are going to tune in because the main event. This is the rematch, Poirier versus McGregor, and the momentum coming off of 256 and how phenomenal that was. And to come into this one, the UFC is just really going to be on fire for the next couple of months.
Dana White is like Vince McMahon genius minus all of the bullshit.
Yep. Absolutely. But we are discussing football. We can get back to that. What did you have next on the list, Joe?
Well, you know, we got to get back at it. It's the semis in leagues. I'm in the semis in my Yahoo league. So I was looking at it and, you know, we'll just go. You've accumulated, if you've played the waiver wire right, you're almost deeper than you want to be at this point. I look at my team right now and I'm like, God damn it. I wish I had this roster in week 7 when I was dealing with injuries and bye weeks and everything like that. But I'm feeling good where I am. But what I was looking at quickly, we talked about it last week for the first round of the playoffs, the waiver wire. Who is on the waiver wire that can actually do some good last minute? One thing about this week, and even preparing for this, it was hard because, you know, there's quarterbacks, Stafford and Alex Smith, Daniel Jones, they're all genuinely questionable. There's a bunch of running backs that we don't know what's going on with their status this week. The 49ers, for instance, is one of them. You know, you even got, is Julio Jones playing? Because that's a Russell Gage impact for Atlanta. So you have a lot that's up in the air. So, you know, for me, with Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday games, I'm picking guys up and just giving myself the decision for later in the week on what I'm going to do with them. And, you know, I was looking at quarterbacks and, you know, Phillip Rivers, Jalen Hurts, Baker Mayfield, and Tua were all on my waiver wire. Now, they don't all have probably the matchup that you want to use them for, but if you're in a jam for some reason, those are some quarterbacks to go get. You know, from a running back perspective, a little bit thinner. But, you know, Leonard Fournette was on the wire in my league. Ronald Jones just had a pin put in his finger. Not exactly sure what his status is. Running backs, again, were pretty light. But then from a wide receiver perspective, we had some good, you know, Ruggs is out this week for Vegas. So you got that makes Aguilar and Renfro a little more valuable. And I got to say, Aguilar has been pretty freaking good. He's making some big plays for them. I had Curtis Samuel was on the waiver wire in my league. And you guys know probably I've liked him too much over the last few weeks. But he puts on, you know, seven out of his last eight games, he's been in double digits. So Curtis Samuel definitely can get you 10 points if you need it. Antonio Brown's out there in a PPR, DraftKings, a point per reception. Brown is probably going to get you to double digits, and that's without a touchdown. Brandon Cooks is coming back for Houston, but Kuti's still in play. He's on the waiver wire. You know, it's the semis. The guys who aren't performing, even though they're the guys you drafted at this point, they might not be the way to go. And the other thing, too, you're keeping these guys away from these other three teams that are in the playoffs, and that's important at this part in the season, too. If you know your opponent needs a defense, you don't need a defense, but the Ram defense home against the Jets is on the waiver wire. Go get the Rams defense because you know they're going to put up 20 probably, and you don't want that against you. So just some things to look at as we get to the, you know, as we approach the league Super Bowl, and obviously good luck to everybody this week in the semis.
Yeah, and that's a good point. As you kind of whittle down there in teams, it does become a little bit more of a chess match on the waiver wire. So that's a great point. I appreciate the putting that together. As always, every week we have our week is actually a Monday night pick. That would be Evan Engram, Monday night at home versus Cleveland. He's at 5,500 on FanDuel. So what do you think about that one, Joe?
I don't know. The Giants really pissed me off last week. Obviously, they came off as a Giant. Yeah, you know, no, more than that, unfortunately, as a Giants fan. I always had my own personal rule. I don't bet on my home team for or against them usually. And let me tell you why. I had Seattle in four bets home against the Giants 2 weeks ago. We all know how that went. So then last week I said, let me learn from my mistakes like an asshole. And I took the Giants and they laid an egg. So I don't know. Daniel Jones obviously isn't healthy. That's a problem. The one good thing with Evan Engram without Barkley, he's kind of their check down guy. So if it's a PPR league, I think I'm on board for that.
Yeah, I that's a good call. I was really high on Engram before the season started. I thought he was going to have – now, of course, there's been a lot going on this season injury-wise and everything else, but I thought he was going to have a better season than what we've seen so far. So hopefully – hey, you know, let's see if he bounces back on Monday and has a big game. So that's Brady's pick for the week. We'll lock it in with our take it or leave it if you want to kick that one off, Joe.
Yeah, I do. And, you know, I'm just going to go a little lightning round here on some of the things I'm seeing for this week. We can't give a lineup out. The injuries are just insane. But I'm going to give some guys to watch. And, you know, Derrick Henry, chalk another great matchup this week. Cook a decent matchup this week. But I think there's some real opportunity to not have to spend that money and still get the performances. And what I mean is you've got Jonathan Taylor and David Montgomery this week. They're both on fire. They both have phenomenal matchups again this week. So I'm banking some extra cash by using those two at my running back spots. It's going to give me the opportunity to go Kelsey, who's got another phenomenal matchup. He's still cheaper than Tyreek Hill. And then a couple other guys I wanted to mention is we talked about him a minute ago, Nelson Aguilar, wide receiver, cheap play for the Raiders. Another, you know, they're playing Indy, which their defense from the first half of the season is not the same. So I'm not calling that a bad matchup at all. You got to watch that Julio Jones injury news. Russell Gage, definitely a good play with no Julio. Hamler in Denver last week, real cheap option. He had two touchdowns. So that's somebody to look out for also. You know, segueing that into my take it or leave it. I'm going to give two because I don't want people to say I'm copping out with the defense. I'm going to go Nelson Aguilar tomorrow night. Obviously, you're not going to get him in the main slate or anything like that. However, I do think he's going to have a nice week for the Raiders. He's been playing pretty well. But the one, you know, the 1 p.m. slate, to me, and it sucks because you love being able to save some money with a defense. Not that they're all, you know, $5,000 is the max your defense is going to cost on FanDuel, but the Rams defense home against the Jets, I do believe you're looking at 15, 20 points there. So if it means you got to play, you know, that Chicago tight end, Komet or whatever his name is, you know, or one of those cheaper guys there, I think it might be worth it to get that Ram defense in. There's a lot of good, cheap running back and wide receiver options this week. Couple other quick ones to mention. You got Dobbins and Akers. Those are two guys very hot right now. Dobbins home against Jacksonville. Akers also has a juicy matchup this week. He's against the Jets. So those are another way, you know, those are four running backs we talked about today. Montgomery, Taylor, Dobbins, and Akers, who I really expect to perform like number ones, and they won't cost you that much.
Good call. Good call. I was leaning one way before we started tonight. But I'm gonna go half. I'm gonna go in the other direction. We brought him up earlier. He's been my boy since he got healthy and got into the starting lineup. I'm rolling with Tua versus New England at home. I think that he's going to continue the New England jinx in Miami and put up some serious points. I'm going. His salary is $6,800 versus New England at home. I'm taking him. That's my take and leave it for this week.
Yeah, in two, real quick. So first of all, if he's going to start really scoring rushing touchdowns, I think it's a decent play. I'm putting the Patriot defense with the Colt defense. I don't really know how good they are anymore. They were good. We think they're good. Not sure if they're that great anymore. One other guy I wanted to touch on for the main slate, because it's a tricky week schedule-wise. Listen, I'm not going to fight anybody on telling me Lamar Jackson's not a great thrower. He needs work. That offense needs work from a passing perspective. He's running again. They're in must wins. They're playing Jacksonville, and he's 8,200 on FanDuel. So I'm going to leave this week's episode with saying, don't forget about Lamar Jackson this week when you're looking at QBs.
Yeah. Good. Glad you brought that up. That's a good point. Before we get out of here, I want to say to all my friends up in New England, New York area, New Jersey, we're headed for a pretty big storm. I know a lot of people are home with the, you know, with all the coronavirus stuff going on anyways, but even still, you know, be careful up there. It's going to be a lot of snow from what I hear. So stay safe. We love you. Stay in touch. And with that, we will leave it. And as always, ticket holders, we've got you covered.